Good morning. Good to see all of your smiling faces. Thank you for coming out and being a part of our service today at Victory Church in beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're glad that you're here joining us, and we're glad for those of you out there that are joining us digitally. So thank you so much. You know, it just makes the service better when you're here being a part of our service with us. I want to share some things with you this morning. I know I say this every that I believe will be a blessing to you. But you know, the Word is a blessing to it. The Bible says that the Word is health and life to us, that it provides for us our sustenance, that it's that through the Word we find out that God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, that covers about everything if it's all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we always can get something out of the Word. There's always something good when we delve into it. And so this morning, I want to share something with you that will help you, that'll enable you to walk in victory in particular areas of your life. So I would like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, and I would like for you to turn to the 37th Psalm. That's Psalm 37. Now, there are some really good things in Psalm 37, and we're going to look at some of them. Y'all ever heard the expression, the meek shall inherit the earth? That's in Psalm 37. You ever heard the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord? That's in Psalm 37. But we're not looking at those this morning. I would like to start reading in verse 3, though, of Psalm 37 and verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Now I want you to, actually what I want to do here for just a moment before I get into this, in verse 6 there, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Now, your justice could mean judgment where you're concerned, but it's talking about you being righteous. So the judgment of the righteous is a good thing. It could also mean justice for things that have been done against you. And right here in my Bible, I have a cross reference, and you may want to turn there. Now hold your place here. We're coming back here. We're not through with Psalm 37. Now, you can just write this down. Isaiah 54:17. I have used this verse of Scripture I don't know how many times, and it's one you need to be familiar with. And right over here in Psalm 37 is a great place to write it down. So, Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's a good verse of Scripture to know. What would be a weapon? Well, a weapon could be what you think of as a weapon. Could a weapon also be words? Yes. Has there ever been someone that has spoken out against you unjustly, accused you of something that you didn't do, and you take it upon yourself? You think you have to defend yourself. You think that you've got to take up, and you got to do this, and you got to go around to people and try to set the record straight and stuff like this. The Bible says here, according to this, is part of your covenant. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. Now, does that mean you call the person up on the phone? Does that mean you go tell everybody that they've talked to? No, this is the, remember how faith works. Faith works by you believing something and by you saying something. You simply giving voice to something and condemning unjust words that have been spoken against you, that right there will cause you to get the victory in the matter. Instead, you have to be careful, because when people accuse you justly, we get on a campaign. We get on a, you know, we take it up as a cause in our life. When somebody does, we have to defend ourselves. Well, how about if you let the Lord defend you? How about if you let Him take it? You have no idea where that wildfire has spread to. You can't fix it a lot of times. You can't go to every individual that has been talked to. But what you can do is you can stand on the Word of God, claim this particular verse of Scripture, this particular promise of God, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, Lord, I condemn it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you speak out against that. That allows your faith to operate in a particular area, and it'll go into places that you have no idea that it needed to go into and get fixed. Okay, so that's just a little, I'll throw that one in extra for you, okay? I'm not even going to charge you for that one this morning. All right, back to Psalm 37, verse 3. I want you to notice that we like verse 4 in this. We use verse 4, we're very familiar with verse 4, and go ahead and drop down to verse 4. Verse 4 says that God, and this is the part that we like, God gives you the desires of your heart. That's the part that we like to focus in on, that God gives you the desires of your heart. And what we mean by that usually is whatever things we desire, God's going to give it to us. And what I want to show you this morning is that's not exactly what this verse of Scripture is talking about. It's not talking about if whatever it is that you want, whatever your heart's desire is, then God's going to give it to you. That's not exactly the way that this works. That's not exactly what this passage of Scripture is talking about. Now then, slide up to verse 3 and we'll come into this. Trust in the Lord and do good. So I want you to notice we have a qualifier here. Whatever it is that we find happening in verse 4, we first find in verse 3 a qualifier. And that qualifier is trust in the Lord and do good. So we realize that trusting in the Lord has to do with this, and also doing good has to do with this. In other words, you can't be a stinker. You do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. So in verse 3 it says trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. So we're trusting in the Lord and we are delighting in the Lord. And He shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will bring it to pass. You see, verse 5 is the verse that says that He causes it to come to pass. So that's not what He's talking about in verse 4. So look back up to verse 4 with me for just a moment. So we're delighting ourselves, we're trusting in the Lord, verse 3. We're trusting in the Lord, doing good. Experiencing the Lord's faithfulness by dwelling in the land of His promises. And then we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. You know, one of the byproducts of delighting yourself in the Lord is to be happy, not a stick in the mud. Not going around looking like you've been baptized in pickle juice. You know, Christians ought to be happy. We've got a lot to be happy about. We've got a lot to be joyful. Allow the joy of the Lord to flow out of us, because Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Have you ever noticed that you don't find very many depressed people who are joyful? Have you just noticed that those two things don't run together? And have you also noticed that you don't find very many joyful, happy people that are depressed? Those two things don't run together. So if you're tempted with that, then allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Well, you just don't know how bad things are. Things are really bad. I don't have anything to be joyful about. Well, if you're saved, you can be joyful for the fact you're not going to hell. That's pretty good. That's a great place to start right there. So, I mean, come on. If that's all you got out of this, it'd be a great deal. Right? Okay. So, delight yourself also. You know what? You know the word also there is for a reason. That means in addition to. So, the in addition to is trust in the Lord in the previous verse. Trust in the Lord, do good. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, what He's talking about here is this. He's talking about that when you are trusting in the Lord and when you are delighting in Him, He will place in your heart desires. He will put down on the inside of you particular desires. I remember, you know, we tell the story about this a lot. My little bitty wife, her family, when she was little, like she can remember when she was 4 years old, they would every year come up to Chattanooga. And they would go up on Lookout Mountain, and they would stay at one of the little motels up there. And they would go, that was before those little motels that you see up there now are run down, and it wouldn't take but a good strong breeze to knock them all down. But back a long time ago, those motels were nice, and you know, so they would come up and stay, and they would go see Rock City, and go around there. They'd go to Fairyland, and you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And so when they would get in the car going back home to Decatur, Alabama, they would start riding back home, and little bitty 4 year old Beth in the back seat would start crying. And her parents, "Beth, why are you crying?" And she said, "Because there are people that get to stay here and live in Chattanooga, and we have to go back home." She wanted to stay and live in Chattanooga. Well, isn't that interesting that 8 years later, she met a boy in junior high school. They became friends, started dating their senior year in high school, got married 4 years later after college, got married, and wound up coming to Chattanooga, Tennessee to pastor church. Isn't that interesting? You see, that didn't happen with me when I was 4 years old. If that had happened to me when I was 4 years old, I'd be pastoring a church in Gulf Shores, Alabama, on the Emerald Coast. That's where I was. That's where we went every year, was to Gulf Shores, Orange Beach back then. And we, you know, and we, I mean, we'd go every year, we'd go, we'd have a good time. That's where we loved going. Now, and she did too. She likes going in there also. But this was just a special place that was in her heart. Chattanooga wasn't in my heart until February the 23rd, 1993 at 5:55 p.m. Oh, yeah, I remember the exact day and time that it happened. When the Lord told me, He spoke to me, He said, "I want you to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, start a church." February the 23rd, 1993, 5:55 p.m. That desire was placed in my heart at that time. So I had a there was just a supernatural desire. You know, there are a lot of cities in the United States. There's only one city that I know of that my wife in particular, if the Lord would have had to have had she would have had to have had a burning bush experience to go to this particular city. She wouldn't go there. Matter of fact, if she ever gets put in the witness protection program, you won't find her in this one particular city. You just know not to even look there. So that desire was put in our hearts to come to Chattanooga, Tennessee and start a church. So, desire, things that come to God will put things in your heart as a desire. Have you ever noticed that most of the things that you do started out as a desire? I mean, something as simple as going and getting an ice cream cone. You know, you're minding your own business. And all of a sudden, bing, You know what? I need an ice cream cone. Now, I'm not saying the Lord put that there, okay? But I'm saying before you went and got that, you just don't all of a sudden find yourself standing ordering an ice cream cone. It started out, first of all, as a desire. Now, listen, the enemy can put wicked desires. The righteous can learn to trust desires when you are trusting in the Lord and delighting in Him. When you trust in the Lord and do good and delight in Him, you can trust the desires that are placed in your heart. And one of the things that you could tell people talk about, you know, when I talk with people, and I think this is true with most ministers, usually the subject that we are asked about the most, and I'm talking about where counseling, and by counseling I don't mean somebody's in trouble and their life falling apart. I just mean, you know, they just need counsel on something, or advice on something, we'd call it. But the topic that is far and away ahead of the others would be under the category of vision and direction. And that is, I don't know if I'm supposed to take this job. I don't know if I'm supposed to move to this city. I don't know if it has to do with those things. So one of the things that we talk about in that is this, that when God puts a desire in your heart, it doesn't go away. It keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. I remember back when I was younger, when I was about probably 5 years old, 5 or 6 years old, I remember going and visiting my grandmother down in Lynette, Alabama, down in the valley. And every time we'd go down there in the summer, and we'd stay 2 weeks with her, and we'd go around and visit all the relatives. And, man, we had a bunch of relatives down there. We'd go by and visit all the relatives. And so you go by and see them, and whenever we would talk, she would say, well, you know, this right here, this, you know, these James boys, David, and at that time Dickie, that's Richard. Y'all know him as Richard now, but back then he was called Dickie. And so we'd go around, you know, everybody, and somewhere in the conversation she would say, now David right here, this is my little preacher. And my grandmother spoke that over me that I can remember from the time I was 5 years old. This is my little preacher right here. And so as I grew, I didn't want to be a preacher. Okay, my dad was a preacher, and I didn't want to be one, because I you know, growing up, you see the other side. It's not all wearing a robe and preaching and talking in front of people. There's other stuff that goes on, and I didn't want any part of it. I had all kinds of ideas of what I wanted to do, but what happened was down on the inside, that desire was there, or a supernatural knowing, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt in the ninth grade that I was supposed to be a minister, that I was supposed to pastor. I knew that. I did not want to do it. And I tried doing all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of things that I wanted, that I had plans for me. But none of those things would ever fill that hole. And so then that thing turned into a desire. And it just starts becoming, and it doesn't go away. So it was in me from the time I was 5 years old. Then I ran from it. I didn't want to do it. But that thing continued to linger until we wound up stepping into full-time ministry. And that would have been on April 1st, 1985. So those desires that are in your heart, your desire can be towards a city. Your desire can be towards a vocation. Your desire can be towards a neighborhood. It can, your desire can be towards anything, and God will use that with you to direct you. And a desire that's been placed in your heart from God will not go away. Some of you for years have seen you have seen yourself, or you've had a desire to do particular things in ministry, and it hasn't come to pass yet. Don't give up on that. Continue to give voice to that. Continue to pray about that. Continue to pray in the Spirit where that's concerned. Write it down. I remember, speaking of my grandmother, I remember I was selling furniture at the time, and I would be through that particular area. That was part of my territory. I'd be through that particular area every 3 weeks. And so when I would go through there, I'd work that area, and I'd spend the night, a couple of nights at my grandmother's house, and visit with her, and then make my calls there. So, and I remember one night, I had gone to bed. This is the bed. After Beth and I got married, I'd probably a year or so after we were married, we went down to stay with grandmother, and the bed. This is what the middle of the bed was hollowed out, and you had to be careful when you got in, because whoever got in first was rolling to the bottom. And so you'd have to sleep with one leg and arm hanging over the side to keep from rolling in the bottom. And then when we had children, we couldn't put them in the bed with us because you'd roll in on top of them. So anyway, I was in that bed, and I was laying there at night, and I was praying. And the Lord started showing me things. And he started showing me things about what became this church. Now, I didn't know that at the time. And I remember, and I had in my briefcase, I had a legal pad in my briefcase. And I remember, as the Lord started sharing with me, you know, I was just sitting there, okay, that's neat. And then what happened, it got to a point to where I realized I'm not going to be able to remember all this. It was coming so fast. So I got up and I started writing as fast as I could go. And I filled, I don't know, eight to nine pages of that legal pad, just writing. And I wasn't really thinking a whole lot about what I was just writing as the Lord was giving me stuff. And then I went back and read it. And I thought that was just really awesome. But I realized some of the things that were in there didn't really apply to the church that I was attending at the time. And so I thought, maybe this is for things to be that'll be implemented later. And so I just sat on it. And as the years went by, then I started realizing those things that are in there became Victory Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So that happened back years. That happened back like in 1983, 1984. Actually could have been back as early as 1982. So God does things like that. And you realize that God speaks to you spirit to spirit. He can speak to your spirit in a moment and you see a whole picture of something instead of going word to word. Now we have to communicate word for word. But he can show you a vision and it takes you eight. He can show you a thought and it takes 8 to 10 pages for you to write down everything that goes with it. And so that desire never went away. That desire to pastor never went away, even though I tried to run from it. The desire to move to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Before we came down here, we came down and met with a group of people that were in a surrounding city here. Actually, they were in North Georgia. And through a friend that we had, we found out that there was a particular group of people that had been believing for a pastor to come and to start. They kind of had a Bible study going, and they wanted to kind of possibly turn it into a church, or would hoping that it would become a church. They realized they needed a pastor. We believed we were supposed to come to Chattanooga, Tennessee. It just seemed to make sense for the two of us to get together. So we got together that night, and we had over 30 people there that met. Pouring down rain, sweet Lord Jesus. So we got in the meeting. We told them what our vision was for the church and told them, we'd be coming to Chattanooga. Well, the person that was kind of in charge of that group, they had contacted us, came up and talked to me after, and they said, if you put the church in Chattanooga, all of those people, when we got through with the meeting that night, all of those people in there believed that this was from God and this was an answer to their prayer. And so we went out to eat afterwards, and the person that was in charge of it told me, they said, if you put the church in Chattanooga instead of here, we won't be coming to join you. I said, that's really odd, because less than a couple of hours ago, you believed that God had sent me down here to be your pastor. And because we're not putting the church where you think it ought to be, then now all of a sudden that connection's gone. And they said, well, we won't do it if it's in Chattanooga. I said, well, you have to understand. I said, I hate that. Because I believe that there was something to this. But you have to understand, when the Lord spoke to me on February the 23rd, 1993 at 5:55 p.m., He told me to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'm not going to miss God by 20 miles. I'm not going to stand up in a pulpit every Sunday knowing that I miss God by 20 miles. That's why the church is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So that desire, God places that desire in your heart, and that thing will grow, and it will become a great desire. Now then, verse 5 is the part that a lot of times we think verse 4 is really saying. Verse 5 is, commit your way to the Lord. When that desire comes, then commit that to the Lord. Trust also, He's reminding us, remember we started off by trusting, trust also in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, some other interesting things where this is concerned. You understand the enemy knows how this works also. And he can bring desires into your life that are ungodly. But I want you to go with me. We're going to look at several verses of Scripture here that I think are going to add a little understanding, explanation, add a little bit of foundation to this. Proverbs 11:23. Just turn over to the right one book and you ought to be there. Proverbs 11:23 says, "The desire of the righteous is only good." The desire of the righteous is only good. When you are operating according to righteousness, can you trust your desires? Yes. But, there's a but in this verse, but the expectation or the desires of the wicked is wrath. The desires or the expectation of the wicked, they're going to wind up with the wrath of God or just wrath where the individual is concerned. The desire of the righteous, listen, you are smart enough. I know if you've gone to church here more than 2 weeks, you're smart enough to figure this out. You can tell when a desire is a desire of your flesh. You know those big containers that you can get at one of the discount stores. You can get big containers like this of candy, jelly beans, or M&Ms, or stuff like that. If you all of a sudden have a desire to eat that whole jar, that's not God. So the righteous learns to distinguish between desires of the flesh and desires of the heart. Did you know that Jesus never told you to follow after your heart? It's not in your Bible. He said follow after peace. Now God speaks in your heart, but your heart can also be corrupt, right? Your heart can also be wicked. That's why there's qualifiers in this. It doesn't just say you trust any whim that comes your way. There's things that you have to do. You have to trust in the Lord. You have to commit your way to Him. You have to delight in Him. You have to operate according to righteousness. And when you do those things, you can expect good. You can expect when you commit your way that He'll bring it to pass. You can learn to understand that your desire, when you're operating righteously, your desire is only good. But the enemy tries to use that same vehicle to get you to pull away, and if your flesh is stronger than your spirit, it'll pull you away and you'll follow the way of your flesh. So it's really important not to do that. Psalm 20 and verse 4 says, as a matter of fact, you're going to want to probably turn to this one, because this has got a lot of good things in it too. You know, one of the things that I have found is the Bible has a lot of good stuff in it. Yeah, I found that. Let's just start in verse 1. This is David writing here, and he said, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you, and may He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice." Verse 4. "May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose." May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Now, right by verse 4 in your Bible, I want you to, if it's okay, if you can write in your Bible, which it's okay for you to write in your Bible. I don't know if y'all knew that, but it's okay for you to write in your Bible and make notes in your Bible. If you can't write in your Bible, we have Bibles in our bookstore that have already been pre-approved for you to write in. It's okay for you to write in those. So it's okay for you to write in your Bible. But one of the things, as a matter of fact, there are a lot of times that I'll get prayer requests from people, or I get people that are going through things, and I'll get texts from them, or you know, things like that, or a phone call, or whatever, and they're wanting a verse of Scripture. There are several verses of Scripture that I use that seem to just fit a whole lot of stuff. When Christians are going through things, I always point them to the Ephesians prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. Remember, Ephesians chapter 1 is that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. That's that one. And Ephesians chapter 3, and I love verse 20, is "now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think." I like putting that on the end of every prayer. But up above that, starting in about verse 10, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that God, that you would understand the height, depth, and breadth of love, that you being rooted and grounded in love," that's in the third chapter of Ephesians. Those two prayers are really good. Those two prayers are really good for you to, if you're praying for somebody, put their name in it. I pray those prayers for me. I want the eyes of my understanding to continue to be enlightened. I want to be able to comprehend the love of God that abides in me, and that I be rooted and grounded in love. I mean, I want those things for me. I want to walk that way also. So those Ephesians prayers are really good. Another verse of Scripture that's really good, and there's a bunch of them, is Psalm 138. So here over it, Psalm 20, verse 4, you can write Psalm 138, verse 8. And Psalm 138, 8, it's just a really, really good verse of Scripture. Psalm 138, 8 says, "The Lord will perfect or complete." That word "perfect" there means to mature or to complete. "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." That sounds like bringing vision to pass, doesn't it? You can pray that where your physical body is concerned. If you're believing God for your healing, and it's taken a process, just hold steadfast to the fact that the Lord will perfect or complete that which concerns me. You've got vision in your heart to do something. Just stand on this verse of Scripture, that the Lord will perfect or complete that which concerns me. Now, you know, you have to have confidence in the fact. I mean, I know this isn't hard, and if I ask every one of you this question individually, you'd answer it correctly. And that is, do you believe that God's big enough to bring what He's placed in your heart to pass? Well, everybody in here would say yes. So if we believe that God's big enough to bring it to pass, then the problem or the holdup isn't on God's end. It's on us getting things lined up. As I pointed out to you earlier in Psalm 37, there are qualifiers. And you know, we try to use a lot of verses of Scripture in our Bible, unfortunately pull them out of their context and out of their setting and make them say something that they don't say. Most of those verses of Scripture have qualifiers in them. You have to do something and then this happens. We just want the benefit at the end without doing the qualifier. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Now, I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And this ties in quite well with what we've been talking about. Proverbs chapter 3. I know you're familiar with these verses of Scripture. Let's go back to verse 3. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor, and King James Bible says good understanding, New King James says high esteem, in the sight of God and man. I spoke that verse of Scripture over my children every day of the world on the way to school. That was part of their confession was, I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I find favor with my principal, favor with my teachers, and favor with my fellow students. And it's based on this verse of Scripture right here. Part of your promise in the things of God is that you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That's a good verse of Scripture to know. Man, you take that one and couple it with Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against you and prosper. Ooh, that's pretty good right there. Okay, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's that trust thing again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Now, does the Bible say that God directs the path of every person? Now, see, most everybody believes that. Most people believe that they are going to wind up exactly where God wanted them to wind up. Because God has a plan, and we're just all living according to God's plan. And if God wants me to do that, I'll do that, and I'll just wind up where God wants me to wind up. No, no, sunshine. There's an enemy out there that has a plan for you also. And His plan for you doesn't line up with anything that God wants for you. His plan is trying to draw you away to destruction. God's plan is trying to draw you to life. But I want you to notice in this particular passage here in verse 5 and in verse 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust Him in times of emergency? Well, yes, but not only then. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and this is the hard part, and don't lean to your own understanding. Sometimes there are things that the Lord instructs you to do that does not make sense to your head. Because your head can't figure it out. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways. How many of your ways? In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your path. So, having your path directed, having the steps of a righteous man, your steps directed, has qualifiers to it. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledging Him in all of your ways. Do not be wise in your own eyes, for the Lord, or fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Remember, the fear of the Lord is to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. It will be health. Man, not only does this provide for you your steps being ordered, but it also provides for your health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Ooh, you're going to love verses 9 and 10. This is all written in the same section, okay? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. What's another name for honoring God with the first fruits of all of your increase? We would refer to that, and the Bible refers to it as tithing. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it a bunch of times. Tithing is not an issue of money. Tithing is an issue of honor. It is honoring God with your possessions. It is honoring God with the first fruits of all of your increase. Now, notice when you do that, that's the qualifier. A lot of people really want what's in verse 10 without realizing there's a qualifier. Verse 10 says, so your barns, I want you to notice that word's plural. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats, that word is plural, will overflow with new wine. Now, we're not an agricultural society right now. So it's not necessarily talking about your literal barn. Now, if you're a farmer, it is. But your barn is whatever your storehouse is, wherever it is you put your stuff. Wherever you have your investments. Wherever you have your savings. Wherever you have your money. It says right there that it will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. To just anybody? Nope. To those that honor God with their possessions and with their first fruits. Listen, it's a I want to remind you in closing here that remember our relationship with God is a covenant relationship. He's the one that came up with this, not us. He's the one that said, if you will do these things, then I will do these things. That's the way that a covenant works. Now, you believe that where salvation is concerned. Matter of fact, you're basing eternity on it. You're basing eternity on the fact that God is going to do what He says He would do, what He says He will do. Well, this is the same thing. But we have a part to play that's really important, and I want you to notice that it's talking a whole lot in all of these verses of Scripture. We see something coming up that is trusting in the Lord. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about what trusting in the Lord is. Okay? Well, I hope you've enjoyed today, got something out of it. My desire for you is that God's richest and best are yours. And remember, there's victory in Jesus. Amen.